Welcome back to TanTalkNetwork.com, and this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with my wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim, who we fondly call PJ, and Nan, who we fondly call Nan. And
you could say it's Nanette,
and we fondly call Nan. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we're glad to be with you today on this very special day before Christmas Eve. Radio show. And, you know, in our 12th year here every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, which is totally amazing. That's a miracle, too, don't you think, PJ?
Amen. Amen. Here we are.
Here we are, and we love being here. There's no place we'd rather be.
Oh, no.
At 3 o'clock on Sunday. And, you know, even with football, and I love football with all my heart, but I'd rather be right here and miss a football show, a football game, you know, and do this show.
You can bet it's on that TV.
It is, actually, and the Bucks are losing, so.
No.
So
what's the score?
They're showing other
stuff. Okay.
Bucks 20 and Cowboys 27 with a minute left.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, we can do it.
So anyway, with that said, we're glad to be with you today, and we're having a very special show, and it's all about the birth of Jesus. Look with us at Luke chapter 2, verse 1. About the time, that time, what time? That time that Mary was about to deliver, that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own home ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilee town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. Because as a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. Both of them came from the line of David. That was a prophecy fulfilled, that the Messiah would come through the line of David. Mary came through one of David's sons, Nathan, and Joseph, the not the biological father, but the stepfather, earthly father, of Jesus came through the line of David's son, Solomon. And a quick note here before we do this first song, Pastor Jim, about this census and how common this was and all that.
Well, the censuses weren't, you know, like we have our census every 10 years. In Rome, it was more at the whim of the emperor or the Senate, whoever. And it really wasn't to get demographic information like ours is. It was to count the numbers and price some money out of them. So,
right.
You know, one of the reasons that they had this was to count the people, because, you know, Judea, Galilee, that whole area had a lot of unrest. So I think the Romans wanted to know who they were dealing with. So this wasn't all that often. This was the first census. We know there was one taken about 10, 12 years later, too. But this was the first one when Quirinius was governor. So,
okay.
Yeah. And, I think the amazing thing is God was in charge of the emperor.
I love it.
You know,
and the emperor probably didn't have any idea that God was in charge of him.
Idea.
He just thought, oh, this is a great idea. Well, I wonder how I got that idea.
I'm sure Augustus thought, well, we probably need to register these people, see how many there are. And God's going, yeah, whatever, go ahead.
Right.
Because this is the perfect timing.
He had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem.
To Bethlehem
they would
somehow.
Not have gone otherwise, more than likely, because Bethlehem was prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, as the place where the Messiah was going to be born, in
right.
Bethlehem, the city of David.
Right, so they had to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and they might have known about the prophecy, but unless you really had an urgent need, because that's not all that short of a distance.
Right.
Because Galilee is, you know, way north in Israel, and Bethlehem is a little bit south of Jerusalem, south and to the west, I believe. So that's not a small journey.
Right.
And
probably took them quite a while, especially on a donkey.
Here's Mary on a donkey.
Right. That cannot have been comfortable.
Pregnant, 9 months pregnant, so
wow.
I'm sure they had to take it even slower.
Right.
And there is the possibility this took place during the fall feasts. I think during the Feast of Tabernacles. So the roads would have been congested with pilgrims anyway.
Right.
So this probably took a good while for
them to get
there.
Well, and not only that, look at that. They get to Bethlehem and they can't find a place to stay.
Right. Well, and that's because, you know, Bethlehem is a suburb, basically, of Jerusalem. And if it was during the Feast of Tabernacles when this happened, that's one of the feasts where everybody's supposed to show up at Jerusalem anyway. So that doubly explains why there was no place for them to stay anywhere.
Right. Amazing. We're going to play Wynonna's O Holy Night right now. Mm-hmm. Is that okay, Nan?
Sounds great to me.
It will be.
She's over here getting blessed already.
I know.
Absolutely.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
That song, Oh Holy Night. What a beautiful song. What a night it was. They traveled, Joseph and Mary, from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Probably took them quite a while. We know it was at least 5 miles, probably longer, don't you think?
From Nazareth to
Jerusalem, it was like a steep climb, wasn't it? About 1,500 feet up.
1,500 feet up, and I was just looking. It's kind of hard to tell when you're using a tic-tac box to measure out distance.
Okay.
But it looks to be about 50 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem.
Really? That far?
And then it's another, like, 4 miles on past Jerusalem to Bethlehem.
55 miles.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow.
And and you're right. I mean, Jerusalem was in the hills of Judea, so... And they always call it going up because Jerusalem was situated on Mount Zion. So, I mean, still, and you're doing all this on a donkey?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure what route they took, which could have even made it longer, because if they were observant, they wouldn't have wanted to go through Samaria, which means they would have had to have either gone across the Jordan River and come back across around Jericho.
Wow.
Or, you know, it just, you know, it depends. But even 50 miles on a donkey, 9 months pregnant, no thank you.
Right. And the time came. The word there for time is chronos. I mean, it's kairos, I'm sorry. I talked about this morning. I want to explain this very briefly here. Chronos is a Greek word used for time in the Bible when it just talks about the normal passing of time. Kairos is when you get to a point that, whoa, okay, there's something that's changed. There's a shift. Kairos is the time where there is God's opportune time for a change. Now, if you take notes, write this down, because this is extremely important. Most of our life we spend in chronos. It's the normal passing of time. But it is what happens in chronos that allows the kairos to happen. This is a very important concept, so I'm going to try to explain it, and then I'll go to PJ and Nan to help me explain it. So many of us go through life and just passing time, just living, and then all of a sudden, God invades our space in some way. Sometimes it's when you got saved. Sometimes it is further on down the line, and you recommit your life to the Lord, and you want to be all He wants you to be, and suddenly you feel a shift going on the inside of you spiritually. It's a kairos moment, an opportune time. Something is happening, and you know it's different. And we're going to talk about the third part of this three phases of our life here in just a moment. Nan, we've all gone through life like Mary did up until the moment of this night, this particular holy night. Up until that moment, I suppose, Mary's life was more of a chronos, just going by and by. Or maybe we could say that she had a kairos moment. Yeah, I think she probably did, Pastor Jim. When Gabriel came to her and said, "You're pregnant with the Holy Spirit."
That'd be a kairos moment.
That would be a God's opportune moment time, right?
Well, and she accepted it, remember?
Exactly. That's the key right there.
Behold the bondslave of the Lord.
Yes, go ahead.
She made it a kairos moment
by accepting the
promises that Gabriel gave her.
She accepted it. She said, "Be it done to me according to your word." All right. So often we go through life and we come to those moments where I had one at age 16. My dad was preaching a revival in Marion, Indiana at the church they were married in, very church they were married in. And we had just come back from Central America. My parents were missionaries. And it was November of that year, 1963. Hard to talk about. It's a kairos opportunity right there, because I hated being in the States. I hated having to leave my friends and everything in Central America. I hated it. I was not loving school at all. And that night when my dad gave that altar call, I was like laying on that altar. I'll never forget it. 16 years old and going, "Okay, God, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll change my attitude. I'll accept where I am. And Lord, if you can use me here in the States right now, if you can," that's when God called me to preach, but I said no. I said, I'll be a great doctor for you, but I don't want to be a pastor. But there, the Kairos good part of that was that from that moment on, God put a hunger in my heart to see kids saved. And long story short, I started passing out those little chick comic things, PJ.
I love those things.
This and was with, your life. It,
this was. And within a few weeks, I was leading friends, kids in that high school in Marion, Indiana, to Jesus. It was a Kairos moment. It was a turnaround shift for me from just being passing time to really being right where God wanted me to be at that time. And I had to surrender and accept that that's where God wanted me.
And I can, if I can give my...
Go ahead, because I got to dry these tears.
You might want to get me a Kleenex. I don't know if I'll make it through this. But God sometimes gives us, tells us what he wants us to do, or we know. Right. I knew I was called to teach.
Yeah.
I mean, to be a teacher.
Of the word.
Of the word. Even before I was saved. In fact, I preached before I was saved in my little Methodist church. And yet, I went to Ball State. I had no intention, Pastor, of getting saved. And some of you may have heard this before. I had no intention of committing my life to the Lord.
Right.
And yet, on my in my residence hall was one of the leaders of Campus Crusade for Christ. And my pastor in my Methodist church said, you really ought to get involved with this group.
Right.
Well, two other, you know, people that were in Campus Crusade were also in my residence hall. There were four of us. We had a Bible study. We'd go out and talk to people about getting saved. And I remember, see, I'm not going to make it either, that Tuesday afternoon, Roger, Agnes, and I went out. And we would just go knock on people's doors and, you know, use the four spiritual laws and talk to them about Jesus. No one was around, not a soul. And so we went to the study hall and Roger asked me, he said, is there something you want to do? Is there something on your mind? And we had just studied the sower and the seed. And God had shown me in my little Kairos moment what my life was like. It was not all that good. There was a whole lot of weedy soil and a whole lot of rocks.
Yeah.
So we talked about that, and that was the day I recommitted my life. Thank you, Nan.
Yeah.
I recommitted my life to the Lord. And the other one was the day I walked into Beacon. I mean, I count that as because I had, God had a plan.
Yeah.
And I kind of, and he put it together so that we could move down here. And you know, I've told this story too. I did not want to go to Beacon. They had a woman pastor. I had my fill of that. And yet here I am.
I think you've adjusted rather well.
Thank you. And here it is 10 years later.
Right.
You know?
And we have these Kairos moments where God is wanting to change us. And I believe we had one of those at the end of our service today.
Yes.
For as many people as who would receive it. Because, and Mary and Joseph have a Kairos moment here. Mary, let's talk about Mary, because there was a normal passing of time during her 9 months of being pregnant. The Kairos moment we just decided was as the angel announced it to her and the Holy Spirit impregnated her. That was a God strategic moment for her.
Right.
Then she goes into labor, and in all places, she's in a very common, ordinary stable with animals.
Can you imagine?
Yes. I mean, think that this is God. I mean, he could have provided a better place for them.
Right.
And no, this was supposed to be.
One of the devotionals that I'm using got real down and dirty with it. I mean, yeah. You got mice running around.
Oh, it had to be dirty.
It's got to be full of flies because you know it's full of manure.
Right.
And I mean, think of it.
I mean,
this was a stinky, scummy little place for the King of Kings to be born.
But it pictures the fact that not only did he come for all of us, no matter how much down in the dumps or in the mud and slime of our lives we have been at times, but that the King arose from all of that.
Oh, exactly.
And oh my heavens, I we could go on and on. This was a Kairos moment for Mary. She had a strategic opportunity and she gave birth the fullness of time. We'll talk about it in a minute. Go ahead.
And it also was a Kairos moment for the shepherds, which I'm sure we're going to get to.
We're going to get to.
Because they could have said,
yeah, No, they jumped on board.
Right. I think, you know, I think we were all dreaming or something.
Right.
But they got on board.
So it brings us to this, and it is amazing. So you are in for a treat. Handel's Messiah, for unto us a child is born. Such a great song. They're quoting right there Isaiah chapter 9, 6 to 8, and the 6 to 7, really, I think it is. For unto us a child will be born. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And then in Isaiah 7, 14, so written 700 or 800 years before all this happened, the virgin will give birth to a son. We'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So those are the scriptures that that formed that song. What an amazing. And PJ, it's a good thing Nan found Kleenex for you and me, because it's been a kind of a crying second half here.
Yeah, it has been.
It has. So we see Mary and Joseph here in Luke chapter 2. And they've given birth. The baby has been born, and he is laying in a little manger. Now, shepherds in verse 8 of Luke 2 were camping in the neighborhood near the birth of the child. They did not have to go a long way. They didn't have to travel 55 miles or, like the wise men, hundreds of miles perhaps. You know, they were right there.
Right. They were in that hilly country. They were nearby.
And it's interesting that they're shepherds, because shepherding was the lowest of the low of jobs, was it not?
Yeah, because they were vagrants, basically, who usually hired out to
watch somebody's
flock.
Couldn't get any other job. Yeah. But, you know, it's so interesting because David was a shepherd, and the Messiah comes through the line of David, and David was a shepherd and the eighth child.
And Jesus himself called himself the Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. And so, you know, and that is so true. And in Psalm 23, David wrote, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," you know, and referring to those two tools he used. And it also refers to the Spirit of the living God and the Word of God. So the shepherds were there just doing what they do, you know, taking care of sheep. Okay. And they had set night watches over their sheep. And here's your word, Nan. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. They're just minding their sheep, and an angel shows up, and with brilliance all around the angel, just as we would imagine it to be.
And they weren't expecting anything. I know.
No, they're just out taking care of their sheep.
Michelle brought up this morning about the star. Didn't they see the star? Well, it's very possible that star that led the Magi, the wise men, to Jesus hadn't even risen yet, had not even happened. So they weren't expecting, there wasn't any big to-do, I mean, you know, until all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, an angel is right in front of them. And think of it, it's pitch dark. And what does how does Moses describe the glory of God at night? As a pillar of fire. So think of it, all of a sudden, yeah, Pastor, you said it, this just glow and fire and brightness all around them. I know the King James says, and they were sore afraid. They were so very terrified.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been, too. I mean, you know, here you are. You're just, you know, kind of low on the totem pole. You're not expecting. And they probably, nobody had any aspirations for anything great.
They're just common people.
And boom, an angel.
Wow.
Appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. So again, so like God, so like his messengers. What does he say?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Fear not. Most common command in the Bible.
Right.
Fear not.
Don't be afraid.
And it says here, I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. People, this is for everybody. It is for you. You have to choose to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But it is for you. Jesus died, came to this earth for you. Okay? A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. The calling him Messiah is so important, because Messiah meant that sent one, the one that God was sending, his son. Do you want to comment on that, Pastor Jim? We'll go back to Nan here in a minute.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Messiah. I don't know if you were going to get to this, but here again, the kind of the three steps of Christian growth. For unto you is born this day a Savior, that's the first step. Who is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one anointed by the Holy Spirit, the Lord. You know, it fulfills it all. He's our Savior, he's our Holy Spirit baptizer, and he is our soon coming Lord. He is Lord of the universe.
Amen.
And the angel sums all that up right here.
then, and the angel says, and by the way, and this is my part I'm putting in here, in case you think that this may be a little prince in some palace somewhere, he's a little baby lying in a manger in a, you know, shed.
He ain't no Prince George, okay?
Right.
I love Prince George, but he's...
Right, it's not that.
He's not like in a place like William and Kate's little boy.
No, not at all. At once the angel was joined. Now, I love this because here's one angel shows up and delivers the message. Then the choir just can't stay in heaven. They are just like, are you kidding me? He gets to go. That angel gets to go and announce the birth of the Messiah. We're going to. I can just picture that in heaven. But I think it wasn't like that, really. I'm just teasing because I think it was pre-planned to catch all the shepherds, not just one, wake them up and show them the glory of Almighty God. More than one shepherd needed to become the first missionary here. It needed to be a whole group of them.
Well, and I'm sitting here kind of picturing this in my mind. You'd think... And one angel's glowing with the glory of God, a whole multitude. Those hilltops must have been on fire.
Can you imagine?
I mean, unless you had to have spiritual eyes to see it. But just think that there must have been this just like a glow.
Right.
Around all these hills and around all these Judean hills.
Oh, yeah.
Because here you've got a multitude of angels. And I know the first angel stood among them. I always pictured the multitude
being
up in the heavens. So
yeah.
It must have looked like noon.
Right. All that light.
For at least as long as the angels were singing.
Well, they were announcing the birth of the light of the world.
Good point.
There you go.
And it must have been like high noon on the hills of Judea in the middle of the night.
Do you want to comment on any of that, Dan? We're just kind of buzzing along here.
That's okay.
Crazy good, isn't it?
Crazy good. What came to my mind is when I walk my dog at night.
Okay.
And I have that flashlight. I have a flashlight that I use when we walk at night. And the flashlight brings, you know, light to where I need it to be. And just as that does that, so do the angels.
Oh, yeah.
Showed up where they needed to be.
Sure.
And lit up. I mean, like Pastor Jim said, that place must have been on fire, lit up, you know.
Oh.
That'd been pretty cool to see, actually.
Oh, absolutely. And the angel choir was singing a song. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women. Peace. And Prince of Peace. That's who he was from Isaiah chapter 9, 6, and 7. Prince of Peace. Okay? And women on earth who please him. And I think it's so important here that we realize that... The birth of Jesus signifies to us we can walk in peace. The Prince of Peace can live on the inside of us. If he does not live there in your heart now, we're going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to receive him because the Prince of Peace wants to take up residence on the inside of you and change your life and turn it upside down. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Peace. That is what we have with the Prince of Peace. What do we hear a lot at Christmas? We hear about love, joy, and peace, right? Love. I mean, God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. This is John 3:16-17. But that the world through him might be saved, right? And dear one out there in Radio Land, whatever you're going through, I guarantee you, if you're having a hard time right now, you don't feel a lot of peace. Probably feel a lot of chaos. You probably feel a lot of depression or discouragement or defeat, and you're not sure why you feel that way. But the Prince of Peace became a baby, born in a stable, announced first to common, everyday shepherds, PJ.
Amen. He came for us.
Yes.
And you know, I've said it before. I'm doing these two devotionals for specifically for Advent and Christmas. And I'm just so thankful because this year, and I'm not saying I understand the mystery of the Word becoming flesh. I don't think the side of heaven any of us really do.
Right.
But these have really brought it home more than ever. I mean, I've really focused on that part of Christmas, that God loved us. The mm-hmm. Father loved
yes.
us.
Yes.
And Jesus loved us. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come.
No. Right.
And he took on our humanity. The infinite took on the finite.
Mm-hmm.
Divinity took on humanity.
Right.
That's why there's nothing that happens to us that could shock or surprise Jesus. I mean, sometimes we probably all, at least I have, I know, committed sins that I was too ashamed to confess because, oh my God, I can't talk to Jesus about this. And yet, Scripture says he was tempted in every way as we are,
Amen.
Yet he was without sin.
Yes.
He knows what it's like to be tempted.
Right.
And he took our sins upon himself.
Yes.
I don't care how black we happen to think our sins are.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to forgive. And I think on the other side of that, sometimes we just think our sins are too trivial.
Right.
To bring to God. But anytime we've missed the mark, which is the meaning, we break our fellowship. John writes in 1 John, if we say we know the truth and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't do the truth. We don't have fellowship. Because he says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And that's what God wants, is that fellowship. That's
yes.
why he became, that's why Jesus became a man. So that what Adam had taken away, God, and only God, restored, could restore, and did restore for us.
Amen.
Which is a relationship with our Father.
And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're talking about the Messiah.
It must have been something.
Wynonna.
Being born in a manger, with the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. It must have been something. Seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. It must have been something. Speaking the word of your Father, with the promise of life and peace forever. It must have been so. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem with the sins of the world on the innocence of a man. Soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come at last.
song, The Messiah Has Come.
It's the Messiah.
It's Jesus. And he's come for you, too. He's with us, and he wants to live in you and through you. Let's see what happened to the shepherds. In Luke 2, when the shepherds were informed that the Messiah had been born, as the angel choir, verse 15 of Luke 2, withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's just forget this ever happened. I don't think it really happened, Nan. Is that what they said?
I don't believe so.
You don't believe so? What did they say?
They said, let's go.
Let's go. Let's go where?
See the Messiah.
Let's go see the Messiah. And you know what? When God begins to reveal himself to us, we just want to share it with others. You know why? Because it's so wonderful. Go ahead.
You know, I was thinking while the song was playing, the Lord has been dealing with me for a little while now. Now I need tissue for me. For a little while now, to really reach out to people with the message that Jesus loves them and gave his life for them.
Pastor Jim is sharing.
Pastor Jim is sharing tissue with me. Thank you. You know, and I mean, even things like, okay, I have business cards for my personal ministry.
Yeah.
And he's like, start leaving them on the table.
Mm-hmm.
When you've left your tip, actually, I don't leave the tip on the table. I put it in their hand. And because I just want to make sure it gets to my right person. You know, and right on the back, if you need prayer, give me a call. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, there's just like this, I don't want to use the word urgency, but kind of like
I believe
urgency
there is, yes.
To Jesus is coming soon.
Yes, he is.
And we need to reach out.
And we need
individually
to reach out.
As individuals, as well as a church, we are reaching out by this radio show,
right?
By our prayer line, by the Go Yard show on Thursday nights. You know, we're reaching out as a church, but we right. also need to reach out individually to people. Jesus is coming soon, guys.
Amen.
And we just need to bring more people in with us.
Amen. And the shepherds did not ignore this heavenly visit of the angels. Instead, they sat around and talked about it, and they said, oh my gosh, let's go to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running. I love that, PJ. They did not take time and think it over for a few weeks. A lot of times God speaks to our hearts and tells us to go do something, and we think, I don't know if that was God. Or I'll revisit that in a week or two, God. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think we don't give God credit for being able to clean up our mistakes. If you think it was God, do it. If it wasn't, he's big enough to take care of it and clean it up, okay? And yeah, they began to say to themselves, I like that, they began. They didn't even get finished. Let's go to Bethlehem. And off they go to Bethlehem. And they tell... Well, it says, you know, and let us see this thing. Literally, let us see this rhema that has happened.
They believed it, the angels.
Yeah,
they believed him, or they would not have gone running, right?
And so they came, they came in a hurry.
I love that.
You know, and made their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby. When they had seen this, okay, here it is. Here's what the angel said. It's fulfilled. They made known the rhema.
Yes.
That had been told them about this child. Again, you know, these are those things Mary was pondering up in her heart. They said, look, this is what happened to us. We're out in the fields, and this angel appears, this messenger of God appears, tells us about the birth of your baby. And then the whole heavens are opened up. And they're telling Mary and Joseph this.
Right.
What a confirmation for them. Because this wasn't planned.
No.
Well, I mean, God planned it, but it's not like Mary and Joseph could have manipulated this in any way.
Well, the baby was probably very newly born, and
right.
these shepherds go running in.
It was the same night. Jesus
yeah,
was
the same night.
The child was only a few hours old.
Because it says this child has just been born,
right.
Is what it says literally down in Luke 2. So the shepherds go right there. They took off running and they went. And then after they saw it, and I love this in the Message Bible, the next sentence is very small. It's only three words. Seeing was believing. Talk to me about that, Nan.
Seeing was believing. Seeing what God is doing for us, we need to believe that he's doing for us. So it's kind of like the same concept.
And so often we are seen with eyes of doubt, and the devil comes in and says, that can't be God. God didn't speak to you. God doesn't speak to people and all that, but he does, people.
He does.
He does.
I have a study Bible that I would mark all kinds of things when he would lead me certain scriptures, and it would become rhema word for myself, and I would date it and make notation there if it was applicable. And, you know, we need to store all those things up.
We do.
Just as Mary, you know, in verse 19, we were getting there, said that, you know, she pondered. We've already talked about her pondering, and we need to ponder also in our lives.
Absolutely, we do. And so with this said, look, the shepherds, it changed their lives entirely. They became the first missionaries right here. You know, they were like telling everybody, Pastor Jim. And I don't think they were telling it with like, oh, you wouldn't believe this thing that happened. I think they were telling it gloriously, ecstatically.
Well, yeah. In verse 18, it says, all who heard it, so obviously more than just Mary and Joseph,
right,
wondered at the things.
Yes.
I mean, it was an amazing thing. And then in verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God. I don't know, what comes to mind is walking and leaping and praising God.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, like the man that was healed, the lame man that was healed in Acts chapter 3. For all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Wow.
They were praising God because they were the first to know. Outside of that little family circle of Zechariah, Elizabeth, baby John, Joseph, Mary, very possibly Mary's parents, and the baby Jesus, outside of that little family circle, they were the first ones to know.
First to spread it, yes.
I mean, what an honor for these lowly little shepherds.
Oh, but they're so common, and that's what's so cool.
And I mean, they didn't keep quiet about it. They went out glorifying and praising God for everything they'd seen and heard. No wonder the people wondered. I mean, here's these shepherds talking about an angelic visitation, something, again, I can't stress this enough. 400 years, we sing it in that one song by Chris Tomlin, the 400 silent years between Malachi and the birth of Jesus, there was not a prophetic word. All of a sudden, we got angels appearing. Zechariah gives that prophecy.
It's the Kairos moment. It's the strategic moment.
Zechariah starts prophesying. He was the first one to prophesy in 400 years at the birth of his son. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have the angels and then Simeon and Anna prophesying all of a sudden. Wow.
How does this apply to you, dear listener? If you do not know for sure that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, this is your moment. Dan, I want you to repeat after me. And those of you out there in Radio Land, if you do not know that Jesus Christ for sure is your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth.
I believe that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth.
As the Messiah.
As the Messiah.
The one that was able to save me from my sin.
The one that was able to save me from my sins.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me.
I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me.
For anything and everything that I've ever done.
For anything and everything that I've ever done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I invite you to come live on the inside of me.
I invite you to come live on the inside of me.
I choose you as the Lord of my life.
I choose you as the Lord of my life.
I am your child and you are my father.
I am your child and you are my father.
There you go.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, the Lord God, he will change the rain. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amazing. Thank you, Pastor Jim, for sharing your CD with us of Handel's Messiah.
Oh, is that how he knows every word?
That's how.
I mean, he came up with words that
he used to sing it in choirs. Oh.
Yes, I did, all through high school. I love that. And I'll tell you what.
What? How amazing that is.
It's so amazing. And I get so, I mean, I'm raising my hands and, you know, it's like, wait a minute, this is classical Baroque music.
No, but it's
I don't
so
care. God uses it and I
it
get
is.
So blessed. Right.
My dad sang it too years ago in the Easter thing in Marion, Indiana. What a show. This has been such a great time. You know what? It really
glory
has.
Glory to God in
It's
the
been
highest.
A glorious day. I just felt like God speaking to me just now and said, job well done today. Because we have accomplished what we set out to do early this morning, and that is to give us a fresh vision of the birth of Jesus and how the coming of the Messiah has changed our lives forever. If you prayed that prayer with us, send an email to Pastor Jim, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com, or me, Pastor at bohmglobal.com. We'd love to hear from you. Use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. Nan, final word. PJ, final word. We've got to get out of here.
I encourage the people to just reflect upon what they've heard and just for them own self, begin a new work. Just become new and again. Be renewed again in this season.
Amen. Let God do it.
Amen.
Thank you, Nan.
And I go along with what Nan said. It's going back to Mary. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word.
Yes.
Listen. Get into the word. Listen to what God is saying. Claim those promises and say, you know what? Be it done to me according to your word.
Amen. Because that's what he wants for us. Amen. He wants us to be that in tune with him. That we hear his voice, that we get the assignment, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that for the moment. Mary and Joseph accepted the assignment, and the Messiah was born.
Amen.
At just the right, perfect time. God wants to do a fresh work in you. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you to both of you today. You're always amazing. God wants to do a fresh work in all of us. Let today be a life-changing day for you. You'll be able to hear this show again probably in the next day or two. On podcast right here, tantalknetwork.com. Go to Living the Good Life. Tell some people about it and share it at this Christmas time because we need to be reminded of the truths of the gospel, especially in relation to the birth and the life of Jesus, the death, the resurrection, all of it. And it's always a wonderful time for us at Beacon of Hope to go back over these amazing events. It renews our faith. It reminds us of God's perfect timing. It reminds us that God has a plan for each of us, that he loved us all. It's for everybody worldwide who will accept it. And so with that, we just say Merry Christmas. Hang on. Let me turn your mics back on.
Okay.
What would you like to say, guys?
Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas. Have a great time. And we will be back here next Sunday, of course, right here at the same time. 3:00 Eastern. And thank you, Nanette Watson, formerly known as Nan. And Pastor Jim Ellsbury, also known as PJ. Yes. Me, Pastor Marcia, known as Pastor. And so anyway, or Grandma and Nana Florida.
Nana Florida.
Not Grandma. Nana Florida. Great Nana Florida. Nana Florida the Great. Whatever you want to call me. And Mama Mac on Thursday night. Anyway, it's been great being with you all today. We have enjoyed it. God bless you. We're going to go out with the Messiah again. Why notice? I played it every week during all this. I just love it. I just love this song. We will see you all again very soon on the air. God bless you. Have a great week.
Being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields. A star shining over your head. It must have been something. Seeing three wise men. On their knees before a newborn. with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. It must have been something speaking the word of your Father. With the promise of life and peace forever. Must have been
City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.